Day 6002. The universe, it seems, is on my side the next morning, because when I wake up in the body of Megan Powell, I also wake up a mere hour away from Rhiannon. Then, when I check my email, there's a message from her. Nathan, this better be a good explanation. I'll meet you in the coffee shop at the Clover bookstore at 5. Rhiannon. To which I reply, Rhiannon. I'll be there, although not in a way you might expect. Bear with me and hear me out. A. Megan Powell is going to have to leave cheerleading practice a little early today. I go through her closet and pick the outfit that most looks like something Rhiannon would wear. I've found that people tend to trust other people who dress like them, and whatever I do, I'm going to need all the trust I can get. The whole day, I think about what I'm going to say to her and what she's going to say. It feels entirely dangerous to tell her the truth. I have never told anyone the truth. I have never come close. But none of the lies fit well. And the more I stumble through possible lies, I realize I'm heading in the direction of telling her everything. I am learning that a life isn't real unless someone else knows its reality. And I want my life to be real. If I've gotten used to my life, could somebody else? If she believes in me, if she feels the enormity like I do, she will believe in this. And if she doesn't believe in me, if she doesn't feel the enormity, then I will simply seem like one more crazy person let loose on the world. There's not much to lose in that, but of course, it will feel like losing everything. I manufacture a doctor's appointment for Megan, and at 4 o'clock, I'm on the road to Rhiannon's town. There's some traffic, and I get a little lost, so I'm 10 minutes late to the bookstore. I look in the cafe window and see her sitting there, flipping through a magazine, looking up at the door every now and then. I want to keep her like this, hold her in this moment. I know everything is about to change, and I fear that one day I will long for this minute before anything is said, that I will want to travel back in time and undo what's coming next. Megan is not, of course, who Rhiannon's looking for, so she's a little startled when I come over to her table and sit down. I'm sorry, that seat's taken, she says. It's okay, I tell her. Nathan sent me. He sent you? Where is he? Rhiannon is looking around the room, as if he's hiding somewhere behind a bookshelf. I look around too. There are other people near us, but none of them seem to be within earshot. I know I should ask Rhiannon to take a walk with me, that there shouldn't be any people around when I tell her. But I don't know why she'd go with me, and it would probably scare her if I asked. I will have to tell her here. Rhiannon, I say. I look in her eyes, and I feel it again. That connection. That feeling of so much beyond us. That recognition. I don't know if she feels it too, not for sure, but she stays where she is. She returns my gaze. She holds the connection. Yes, she whispers. I need to tell you something. It's going to sound very, very strange. What I need is for you to listen to the whole story. You will probably want to leave. You might want to laugh. But I need you to take this seriously. I know it will sound unbelievable, but it's the truth. Do you understand? There is fear in her eyes now. I want to reach out my hand and hold hers, but I know I can't. Not yet. I keep my voice calm. True. Every morning, I wake up in a different body. It's been happening since I was born. This morning, I woke up as Megan Powell, who you see right in front of you. 3 days ago, last Saturday, it was Nathan Daldry. 2 days before that, it was Amy Tran, who visited your school and spent the day with you. And last Monday, it was Justin, your boyfriend. You thought you went to the ocean with him, but it was really me. That was the first time we ever met, and I haven't been able to forget you since. I pause. You're kidding me, right? Rhiannon says. You have to be kidding. I press on. When we were on the beach, you told me about the mother-daughter fashion show that you and your mother were in, and how it was probably the last time you ever saw her in makeup. When Amy asked you to tell her about something you'd never told anyone else, you told her about trying to pierce your own ear when you were 10, and she told you about reading Judy Blume's Forever. Nathan came over to you as you were sorting through CDs, and he sang a song that you and Justin sang during the car ride to the ocean. He told you he was Steve's cousin, but he was really there to see you. He talked to you about being in a relationship for over a year, and you told him that deep down Justin cares a lot about you, and he said that deep down isn't good enough. What I'm saying is that all of these people were me for a day. And now I'm Megan Powell, and I want to tell you the truth before I switch again. Because I think you're remarkable. Because I don't want to keep meeting you as different people. I want to meet you as myself. I look at the disbelief on her face, searching for one small possibility of belief. I can't find it. Did Justin put you up to this? She says, disgust in her voice. Do you really think this is funny? No, it's not funny, I say. It's true. I don't expect you to understand right away. I know how crazy it sounds, but it's true. I swear it's true. I don't understand why you're doing this. I don't even know you. Listen to me, please. You know it wasn't Justin with you that day. In your heart, you know. He didn't act like Justin. He didn't do things Justin does. That's because it was me. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to fall in love with you. But it happened, and I can't erase it. I can't ignore it. I have lived my whole life like this, and you're the thing that has made me wish it could stop.